the Sunday message, relationships, the holistic model?
My work in Kerrville is not really my work. It's where I go during the day and
get to learn stuff from people. And our clinic is a holistic clinic. We work with body, mind, spirit, that particular triangle. And in my part of the clinic, we work a lot with the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. We say all four dimensions. So in relationships, well, this is the way it was taught to me. If I'm a farmer, like I farm corn, I learn how to grow corn, and hopefully I get better at it every year, but I don't fight with the corn. I don't get offended by the corn. I don't want the corn to be different. I don't yell at the corn. I don't judge the corn or criticize the corn. And I don't say to the corn, if you're different, I'll be happy. And we do that in relationships. Sounds crazy, I know, but we do that. We do that. We say to people, if you're different, I'll be happy. Don't do that. I might get upset. And my upset is so important that you should be careful. Don't talk like that. I might get upset. And in relationships, in case you haven't noticed, that doesn't work. What works is to love you and accept you the way you are. Except that we don't get a lot of training in that. We get a lot of training in judgment, evaluating, giving a grade, comparison. You may know that a lot of us in our mind, we have a voice that's always judging us. In our medicine way, we call that our shadow side. And some people say, I need to get rid of my shadow side. And actually, that's not true. In this medicine way, we look for ways to learn from the shadow side. Because the shadow side is relentless. It's always looking for something to judge. It's impeccable. It never misses an opportunity to judge me. And it's powerful. My shadow side voice in my mind can keep me awake at night when my body is exhausted. That's how powerful it is. My thoughts can change my serotonin, my blood pressure, my immune system, my cortisol, my homocysteine. In neurobiology, we've learned that when we change from judgment, blame, criticism, self-pity, and self-importance, beta, and we move into alpha, there are approximately 1,700 chemical reactions in our body that move us toward greater health. So conversely, when my mind is involved with a lot of judgment, self-pity, fear, and self-importance, there's probably 1,700 chemical reactions that are not so good for me, that have an effect on my immune system and other parts of my body. So we consider in this medicine relationships holy and sacred, because relationships will show me the places that I move into judgment, self-pity, fear, and self-importance. When I'm out there growing corn, I'm not bothered by all that. If I'm a mechanic, I just learn how to be better at being a mechanic. In relationships is where I find that tendency to move into what we call the shadow side. The judgment, the blame, the criticism, the self-pity, and the self-importance. What I mean by self-importance is when I have the idea that I know how other people should behave. That's called my self-importance. In a traditional sense, we call it the ego. But literally, in relationship, if I decide I know how you should behave, I've moved from here to here. And intimacy is not possible here. These two lines are parallel. Parallel lines never touch. For intimacy, it's a requirement to be here. They were both at the same level. In indigenous medicine, they would say the two wings of the bird have to be equal in power. If the relationship is the body of the bird, the two wings of the bird have to be equal in power. Do y'all remember those little balsa wood airplanes we had as a kid?
Yeah.
If the wings are uneven, boom. So that's what the teacher said about relationship. If the two people are unequal in power, the relationship will have the same argument over and over and over and over until the relationship dies. So the two wings don't look the same. One might be longer than the other one. Mine might have lost a few feathers. That's got nothing to do with how they look. It has to do with power. So when I'm judging somebody, I'm using my personal power in a particular way. When I'm loving somebody, I'm using that same power in a different way. And that's creative. An interesting thing we've learned from neurobiology, that when my judgments, my judgmental mind, begins to look at the world with judgment, blame, criticism, it's like a boomerang. My judgments of the world make me sick. Isn't that a kick? You've probably heard that as you reap what you sow. You all familiar with that? When you reap what you sow? I think that's what that means. That when I judge other people, I get sick. My blood pressure goes up. I don't feel so good. So most of us, a lot of us, I don't know about most of us, it's in my experience, a lot of us have been raised with judgment. One of the analogies we use is, what would happen to plastic surgeons if women didn't judge themselves? Well, they'd be doing cleft palates for poor people, and there's no money in that. So judgment is a requirement for some things to exist. Some of people live off of the judgment. Years ago, I was sitting with my older sister, Jermaine Sitting Crow. She was a Dakota holy woman, and she adopted me as a younger brother, Mishu, that made her Tanke. Older sister has two things going on with the younger brother. She has rights and responsibilities. She has the right to correct, which she took seriously. And she... Yeah, it was good for me, huh? This little 4-foot old lady. That was good. Shrunk my ego a bunch. So anyway, the other part is she had his responsibility to teach me her medicine. Her medicine was snake medicine. How not to... Have you ever seen a snake in a field? He runs into a fence. He doesn't beat his head on the fence post. He goes around. That's snake medicine. I find another way. I don't quit the game. I just find another way. So years ago... when she was still alive, we were at her place in Vermilion up on the Yankton Reservation. And there was something when she... Oh, it was Gunsmoke. No, Gunsmoke? No, Bonanza. She was in love with Lauren Green. And she loved Bonanza because she said, that's the only cowboy show where they let it end and have a gun. So she loved Bonanza. That was good. Anyway, we're watching Bonanza. Well, she's watching Bonanza. I'm going, what am I doing here? And this Toyota commercial comes on for a new truck. And I'm starting looking. Yeah, wow. Jeez. And she's over there watching me. She says, you need a new truck, brother? No, my truck's fine. And she said, really? I said, yeah. She said, you have a lot of energy for that. I said, I do. So that advertising agency found a way to hook my energy. Then my truck was not good enough. I'd be better off if I had that truck. And so she used that opportunity to teach me a little bit about how quickly I could be hooked in that kind of way. It was good for me to see that. So that's part of the medicine way in relationships. We look for what we react to in our partner or the person that we're with or any relationship. It really doesn't matter if it's work or casual or intimate or my relationship with myself. Like, how does the voice in my mind treat me? What kind of relationship is that? And this medicine looks at that. The other part of this medicine is to say, if I'm with somebody and they move into a very critical place, they're real upset, very critical, and everything is wrong, do my thoughts become critical of them for criticizing? In other words, do I turn into what I don't like? And how quickly do I do that? So one of the things that we were taught is judgment and self-pity go together, that they're Siamese twins. You'll never see one without the other. That when I'm judging somebody, I say, you hurt my feelings. I'm also saying, poor me, my feelings are hurt. So both of those go together. So when I'm with somebody, or when I'm in a place of believing my critical thoughts, it's good to remind myself, I'm doing a lot of self-pity right now. And one of the things we've learned from neurobiology is judgment as a form of thinking and self-pity both lower my serotonin. Those things are not good for me. So part of the deal with relationships is to use the relationship to help me find those parts of me that I keep hidden in normal social relationships. In work relationships, in a lot of relationships, my shadow side does not appear. I don't see it, I don't feel it, I'm not aware of it. In intimate relationships, I'll find a part of me that's judgmental, critical, self-righteous, self-important, and full of self-pity. I will find that in intimate relationships. So in this medicine way, relationships are considered holy or sacred. If we're interested, they help us find those things that it's very easy for us to keep hidden from other people. So part of this medicine, the way it was given to me, wasn't written, because they use what they call the oral tradition. And they use stories. And they call them teaching stories or us stories. I brought along a copy of a teaching story that you all can have a copy of if you want. It's from my nephew, Vernell Sittingcrow. And it's real, it's appropriate from my point of view. So this is a teaching story. About 12 years ago, I was babysitting for my son and the lady he's married with while they went to Paris. And my youngest granddaughter, little person, about 4 years old, 3 years old, her name's Sierra, Sierra Rose. And we say about her, she's sangre brava, hot-blooded. She's the littlest one, but she's hot-blooded. She's the one, no other grandkid ever did this. I'd be sitting and she'd crawl up in my lap, and she'd grab my ears and put her nose on my nose and look in my eyes and say, "You listen to me, Papa." Where did this come from? Where did you learn that? Anyway, I was babysitting and walked in the bedroom and I said to Sierra, "You know, it's time to go to bed. I want you to clean your room." And she goes, "When you tell me to clean my room, I get mad at you, Papa." Well, okay. Clean your room anyway. And she said, "If you tell me that again, I'll stop loving you." Okay. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, you know, you're 3.5, 4 years old. You get a lot of slack with this crap. In my office, I see a lot of adults that behave like this. This is really weird. To have a 40-year-old person behave like that. Oh, my goodness. So I'm looking at my granddaughter, and she's teaching me this. Now, I know she was taught that. You understand? That's not her fault. That's sort of a cultural thing. You be different, or I won't love you. And I get to say how you should be different. Not only should you be different for me to love you or approve of you, I get to say how you should be different. That's what my granddaughter was telling me. I'm little and you're big, and I get to tell you how to behave, Papa. And if you don't behave that way, I will withhold my love and my approval. In other words, I will use my love and approval as a weapon. I will weaponize my love and approval. So maybe that's not really love. Maybe not. So anyway, this was a good teaching story for me. The other part of the teaching story that gets a little bit different is when I watch the little one behave that way, and I think, do I do that? Where do I do that? I don't like that. Do I do that? So part of this medicine is to use the world as a mirror, to look at what I don't like in other people, and instead of trying to fix it in them, to leave them alone, to see if that's a mirror of some of my disowned parts, my shadow side, the stuff I keep hidden from everybody else. So I can use that little one or interactions with people to find those parts of me that are just like that, but I keep hidden underneath all the social stuff. And most of us are masters of the social stuff. So part of the endeavor of this medicine is to go deeper, to use relationships as sacred, an opportunity to look deeper, because my ego does not normally allow that. my ego likes to think I'm fine and there's something wrong with you all. If y'all would be different, we'd be okay. That's my ego. So this medicine is to look for that. And we honor that that kind of thinking, judgment, blame, criticism, self-importance, self-pity, makes me sick physically. And it toxifies relationships. At the moment I begin to want my partner to be different, I've moved into this, and I've put some energy in the relationship that's different than love. Maybe the polarity. Maybe the polarity of love is judgment. There might be one of the Jesus guy went around telling everybody, judge not. I'm not sure anybody listened. From the indigenous point of view, he was the first sun dancer. Because he was tied to a tree and pierced. And that's what we do at Sundance. We put the ropes on the tree, and after a while, the medicine man cuts us and puts a peg in, and we're tied to the tree, and we dance until we tear loose. And hopefully we have a vision. So, the indigenous people call him the first Sundancer, tied to the tree and pierced. So, in that realm, we're always looking for ways that wisdom can come to us from a lot of traditions. Because sometimes when something's different, we automatically close our heart. We automatically move into judgment. Maybe you all don't do that, but it's been a challenge for me. So relationships help me find those places that I do that. That I'm literally putting a toxic energy in my body and also into the relationship. So years ago, when an older sister, before she crossed over, she crossed in 2012, she would have me do these things. One of them was called a hanblecha. A hanblecha. And what they translate as is crying for a vision. It's what other people call vision quest. But in Lakota Dakota, there's no word for quest. It's crying for a vision. So my requirement was to be up there for 4 days on the side of a mountain with my pipe. I'm supposed to stand there and pray, facing the sun all day long. And no food, no water. So it puts us in an altered state. So I have to deal with my thirst and my hunger and my self-pity and my judgment of my older sister for asking me, well, telling me to do this. And I'm up on the side of the hill, and it's the fourth morning, and the sun's coming up, and I'm cold, and I'm holding the pipe. And I'm thinking, I have not had a vision yet. This really sucks. And, I don't like this. So I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm having this prayer all 4 days. I've been divorced, and it was painful. Sometimes it still is painful. And I'm holding on to my pipe, and I'm praying. I said, Tukasha, the Creator, Sky Father, help me with this. Help me with this women thing. I don't get it with women. I just really don't get it. Help me with this before I die. And so I'm standing there, hold on to it, and I look, the sun's coming up right at that moment. I go, wow, this is it. This is the vision. Father's Son shines his light on Mother Earth. No matter what the mother shows him, the pollution, the nuclear waste dumps, the coal mines, everything. The mother shows the father everything about her. Nothing is hidden. But the father shines his light on everything. So in that moment, light was love. So that was my vision of how to be with women. That I shine my light. I give my love to everything I see, no matter what they show me. And you understand, I think, what kind of challenge that is for me to do that. It brings up all of my judgment, self-pity, self-importance, and fear. So that was the vision. So that was worth the whole 4 days. So when I came down, we did a sweat lodge, and sister said, did you learn anything? And then she looked at me, and she said, yeah, looks like you learned something. Because she could see energy. She saw a shift in my energy. And she said, it looks like you learned something. You did good. You'll be back up there next year. So
So
this is basically the holistic view of relationships. The relationships bring out the stuff that I keep hidden at the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels. And that as a spiritual endeavor, that's what I'm looking for. Part of my inclination, my predilection, is solitude and privacy. And older sister told me that's one of the things you're dealing with here, this lifetime. And of course, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, it's so easy for you to be in solitude. It's so easy for you to protect your privacy, to be silent. You could be silent for days at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. No problem at all. And she said, to be with people, to be in relationship in this lifetime, that's what there is for you to do. So I thank you all for letting me be here today. As sister was crossing over, I was holding her hand, and she said, you're finally here. I said, yes, ma'am. I got here this morning, came right away. And she said, share the medicine, help the people, and stay on the clock. Being here Sunday morning is staying on the clock. So thank you all for this opportunity to share this medicine with you. Maybe it is some use to you in some way. And that's my prayer. I think the meditation is good. It's a very powerful little meditation. It's really quick. So I use that meditation when I get upset. When my shadow side takes over my thinking, and I move to the left, and I'm upset, that meditation brings me right back. So, thank you all again. It's good to be here. Hope you like.
Thank you, guys.